Some say that Toyota is working on a true Ford F-150 Raptor competitor, maybe even a Ram TRX competitor, with the next TRD Hammer, because they trademarked that name.
Yeah, that's right. Some people are saying that. We are some of those people.
Well, we are hoping for that.
We are hoping for it, and it's not just talk. There is some evidence for it, especially recently having had the Mint 400 just a couple weeks ago, where Toyota was competing with the Tundra.
Yeah, but Toyota was actually nice enough to allow me to speak to one of the people really involved in their project with Tundra Racing, because this is a factory effort. You know, it's sometimes manufacturers take a vehicle, they kind of hand it off to a racing team, which is kind of a separate unit, right?
Yeah.
And then those racing teams are actually racing that vehicle. But what Toyota did this time is actually some of the engineers that are actually designing and building these vehicles as we speak were actually involved in this project. And I got to talk to one of them, Skylar Watson.
And what's cool is that guys like Skylar aren't involved in it in the sense that they're maybe standing there on the sidelines, taking photos and posting them.
And looking at data.
As their race truck goes by.
Yeah.
He's actually in the truck as it's racing.
Yes.
So he's directly involved in this program and the actual running of the truck, which is great news because hands-on activity like that in racing with these vehicles from the people that are actually engineering and designing them and directly involved in bringing these vehicles to market, that's a good combination. That's the kind of thing that helps us get toward more and more extreme and rugged versions of these trucks from the factory, which
exactly.
is what we want.
Exactly, because it's all about enthusiasm, right?
Yeah.
And yes, there will be those work trucks and everything like that, but you know, we also care about enthusiasts, and we are enthusiasts.
Well, as much as we would like to believe that we've got some sway to talk to some of these guys, the engineers and the marketing teams and everybody to say, hey, wouldn't it be cool if you guys make an even more extreme version of your pickup truck that's 100% off-road focused? The people that are actually designing the trucks, they've got actually a lot of sway with the company, so they're the ones that can make it happen.
Yeah, so I have an interview, a very detailed interview with Skylar Watson, where I ask him a bunch of questions because I wanted to know why do this in the first place.
Yeah.
Is this just a weekend activity for these guys?
Or is it some development, some research and development toward actually making something that a regular customer could go out and buy?
Yeah, and actually, what was this? What was inside of this truck? Did they soup it up? Did they change it? Did they, you know, what did they do with this Tundra? Because they started with a TRD Pro. And also, I mean, there's many topics. I asked them about the side-by-side, the Scion, the concept they showed, because they're apparently they want to go into the side-by-side business also.
Which kind of makes sense. Obviously, that's a big sidestep from what they're typically doing. But obviously, off-road space is a huge space. And it's especially interesting to talk to them about some of the things that they had to do to this Tundra to compete in the Mint 400, because if you're not aware, the Mint 400 is a pretty rugged race. It is not an easy competition to just take a factory vehicle off of the assembly line and immediately hurl it into a competition like that.
Yeah, people always talk about Baja 1000, Baja 500, many other those signature races. Mint 400 is also no picnic. I mean, it's in the Nevada desert near Las Vegas, Nevada. And so there's everything out there. There's sandy washes. There's big boulders and rocks.
Well, and on the subject of desert racing and Toyotas, you've met more than once Ivan Iron Man Stewart.
I was fortunate to meet him twice.
Who is an icon, not just in racing Toyotas, but in off-road racing and racing period. And one of the big things about this type of racing is that it's not all about absolutely how fast can you go. It's how fast can you go while also sustaining your vehicle.
Surviving.
Yeah, because you got to consider the punishment that the machine itself is taking. So it takes a great deal of awareness, not only for the racing and for the environment that you're in, but also for the status and the longevity of your vehicle.
All right. Well, how about this? How about we go to the interview right now? All right, Skylar, thanks for joining me on this episode of the podcast. First, before we get going, can you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, thanks. My name is Skylar Watson. I'm a senior engineer at Toyota. I work in our product development office in Michigan. I'm on the chief engineers team where we develop some badass trucks.
Yeah, well, it appears you do because just very recently you have entered a new Tundra TRD Pro, right? I could say that because that's kind of how the truck started, right?
It's a passion project for us and a passion of mine personally, but it started its life as a non-sellable, off-the-line pre-production vehicle that is a hybrid TRD Pro.
Yeah, so when you entered it into a Mint 400 race, which is a major off-road race in the country, and I think it's really well known. I was there not this year, unfortunately, but the year prior. So you took this kind of, like you said, pre-production Tundra TRD Pro, and I want to learn everything about it because people were asking questions: what is Toyota doing? Why are they there? Et cetera, et cetera. And you were a co-pilot, a driver, an engineer. I mean, you were wearing many hats.
A couple hats, and I think that's kind of a testament to our team as a whole to get there, right? But what did we do to the truck? Really, within the rules of the stock class, you can't modify much. So it's stock powertrain, stock system, stock suspension points. We were able to go up to a 37-inch tire, which was really critical for the terrain. But we built the truck in about 3 weeks. It started its life as that development truck, and we played within the rules that we could and improved anything that was there, right? Really, it's just a different tire package. And pretty cool for us, first hybrid ever to enter the grueling Mint 400, and then first ever finish. And kind of our feather in the cap for us, too, was because we were a part of the hybrid electric class, we were an official finisher after one lap. As an engineering team, we decided to run a total of three, which was the most of any production class vehicle this last year at the Mint, which is pretty cool.
So that may be a little bit confusing. So, sorry, my mind is going into like 100 different directions because the Mint 400, I mean, it's near Las Vegas, Nevada, right? So it's in the desert and it's a combination of different terrain. It's a sanctioned race, but it's also not like a point-to-point race, right? So that's kind of established what it is. And you can run several different laps around, but is it approximately 400 miles? I mean, the name suggests it could be upwards of 400 miles, but it may not be the case. Like you were saying, it depends on how many laps you're running.
Yeah, it's all determined by the sanctioning body, in this case, the Unlimited Race Series or American Off-Road Racing Championship. And for class by class, there's official finisher laps. So the Mint 400 name comes from four laps of around 100 miles per lap. This year's course, all vehicles ran that were non-moto or ATV ran the same course, and that lap was 95 miles. So on limited day, there was over 300 race vehicles that started, so we were one of those, and we actually started pretty far back in the pack, beyond 200 positions back, and survived one lap, survived a second, and survived a third, which was again the most of any production class. There were other vehicles out there, like professional side-by-side drivers that ran a full four laps that were dictated by the sanctioning body. We were following the rules, and then broke the rules by doing too many laps, I guess you could say.
Well, now I kind of want to hear more like, well, first of all, let's get to like, why do this, right? Can you kind of explain kind of the driving force? I know you're not just an engineer, you're an enthusiast, right, of pickup trucks and off-roading, but why put kind of so much of Toyota's, I guess, effort into this, right?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think we are a passionate group here at Toyota. I think it reflects in our brand. And for me personally, love in the off-road space, love trucks, and just want to go faster, want to go have some fun and prove our product is capable. So it really started a long time ago, many years through parts that we've developed, and I'm passionate about making authentic things. And part of those parts and part of it is to prove it. And so the Mint 400 idea, which is really unique for us. It's one of the first times Toyota has had an engineering-led activity race. We got to learn a bunch of stuff. I think we had confidence in the vehicle and the platform, in its durability. There was no question of us finishing. It was just us taking care of the vehicle to get it through that. And so kind of for us to go do, we're really thankful to have management here at the technical center and our chief technology officer, Maritsu, support from chief engineer, Sheldon Brown, Don Federico. We've got a management that believes in doing, and we were able to go do and prove that our truck's really badass and it can finish the harshest environments out there.
And you're basically kind of learning at the same time, right? Because it's not just about what you're doing like right now, right? It's kind of, is that true? Like you're trying to learn more and maybe even improve?
Yeah, of course. I mean, the spirit of Toyota is Kaizen, constant improvement. And we really believe that. And another Toyota word is Genchi Genbutsu, right? Go to the Gemba, go to the activity. And so honestly, me and many other members have gone to multiple off-road races just as passion people. We've helped in pits with spec and trophy truck friends that we have. And so for us to be out there Genchi Genbutsu and taking action on doing, it's really just a part of us doing. And we learned, right? I think that's the best part. We started an activity. We've been developing the truck for years, right? We the team that was on our race team, our core members that developed the new Tundra. So we knew the platform, their performance well. And I think that's a bit of why we were able to quickly build the truck. We knew where to go, how to do it. And then as we develop, of course, it's a place for us to learn, and we can go back to our desk. The chassis design engineer, Trey Bailey, he's the one going back and doing frame development and design. Our shock and ride and handling teams, even our noise and vibration guys, performance leaders, we're out there learning, and everything's applicable when we come back to our desk and how we apply it for our customers and for us.
Yeah, that's really cool. But it's also kind of rooted in, I mean, if you look at Toyota off-road racing, I mean, this goes back to the 80s, right? And I was very fortunate to meet Ivan Ironman Stewart, who is legendary. Yes. And so obviously Ivan is retired.
Yeah.
He's been retired for maybe, 26 years. So those are big shoes to fill, I guess.
For sure. Yeah. And we would be completely remiss if we didn't say that we were totally inspired by them. Right. I like to say TRD 2.0, right? I don't know where that goes or anything more than my belief that it's a cultural change. Right. And so when we look back at what Ivan Ironman Stewart did, Cal Wells, Tom Morris with PPI, it was putting a Toyota product out there and showing it could do it. And really, you look at the truck that Ivan raced, it was underpowered, but it was an optimized suspension, and he won everything. And that was how you go fast in the desert, is a high-performance suspension. And kind of taking that inspiration and then making it the next thing. A small example, our number H111 is inspired by Ivan. He often raced numbered 1 or 11, but it's kind of the H in front of it is hybrid. Wow, this is a new generation of Toyota. And even our livery that we chose, we could have gone white with the triple stripes, but we wanted to make it kind of edgy, cool, our new generation, our new story, and be inspired, right? Because if we don't look back and learn from our history, we don't know how to go forward best. So those guys have helped us a ton, and it's been super cool to be inspired by them and sort of apply what they showed.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
Yeah, when I was interviewing Ivan Ironman Stewart, I remember him saying, before you win a race, you have to finish first.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
So, and that stuck with me for many, many years, just kind of in everyday life too, right? Because, you know, if you go too hard at the very beginning, then something could go wrong. Something could break. So really, yeah. That's really important. So I want to talk more about the truck, right? Because this is, like we said, the Tier D Pro, which is a hybrid. So it's a twin turbo V6, right? You've got your hybrid system, which is basically electric motor kind of sandwiched between the engine and the transmission. You've got your transmission. You've got your, I would say smallish, because this is not a plug-in hybrid, right? You've got a smallish capacity, high voltage battery. That's what's in production right now, correct?
Yeah. Yep. This is a production class. It was production drivetrain, hybrid system, and being the first hybrid entry into the race was, again, really cool for us. No one else gets to be first now. And where we saw the benefit of this hybrid system in the desert and in those scenes was the acceleration. And that's really how everyday customers see it. But it's also very, very applicable to a high performance race scene. That's what we found. And that's what we were able to really use. A small example is when we were door to door at the start line with a buggy class vehicle, there was a lot of jockeying, and you could really see where our acceleration through that hybrid system helped us kind of pull away through corners and turns, of course, limited by suspension once we get out into the wild further. But every turn, every corner in that desert, in that environment, we were able to use the hybrid system. And then a lot of regenerative braking and adding energy back into that system. You said we're not a PHV. That's correct. So we had to collect energy as we went through the race. And there's a lot of scenarios in off-roading where that happens, right? D-cells where you just have natural engine braking and that power comes right back into that battery and it's waiting for you at the next turn.
I got you. So this wasn't like an experimental or souped-up system. This was a production level powertrain.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that it's a testament to our team to say, let's go out there and do it. It was the same thing that's in your standard TRD Pro vehicle, in your Capstone, in any other hybrid vehicle that Toyota produces. We drove that in the Mint, and we did more laps than we needed to because we believed we could. And we're going to go to the next race at Silver State and keep going with that same powertrain, that same engine.
Gotcha. But so here's digging a little bit more into the truck. Now, the truck has to have a roll cage. I mean, it has to have a lot of safety equipment, obviously, because safety is number one in any racing. So then the truck is now heavier, I imagine, right? Because than the production vehicle. Can you tell me a little bit more about it? Because, you know, I have some pictures and a little bit of video that your team sent me. So there's a roll cage inside. There's also kind of a chase rack in the bed. You're carrying two spare tires. A lot of it is regulation based, right? But now your truck is also heavier. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, of course. So where did we start? We started with a base truck, and then the rules say add the safety equipment. And at a very high level, that's a safety roll cage, which encompasses the entire cabin. And then that roll cage is also tied into our bed rack, where we have different recovery equipment, spare tires, tools to survive out in that wild environment. And then part of the rules also state you need to have a fuel cell. So we have an off-the-shelf fuel cell, but we chose, for simplicity of the system, to actually make what we call a surge tank. So we actually ran the OE fuel pump. So we have a secondary smaller tank next to the fuel cell with the OE sending unit and all OE fuel rail all the way up to the box. So it's all stock. Everything's normal. And then really beyond that, it was tires. We ran the BBS TRD Pro wheels because we wanted to keep steering effort the same and geometry the same. And we changed tires. And beyond that, it was a stock truck. And I think it's just a really cool actual representation of the capability of the Tundra, of the hybrid system, and how we, with confidence, were able to not change anything. And it went out and drove that environment. The conditions were insane. You've been there, Andre. Mm-hmm. I think you know from seeing it a little bit how harsh it can get. By lap three, the ground was alive and the truck was constantly, constantly moving. It was amazing.
Well, yeah. And I want to talk about tires. And also wanted to talk about a rumor that was online. But so tires, you said you went to 37s, right? Because so the stock vehicle is on 33 approximately diameter tire, correct?
Correct.
I'm talking about TRD Pro.
Yep.
So now, but you also have racing vehicles. You mentioned side-by-sides. There is also some other modified vehicles, right? I don't know, are trophy trucks running the same courses as well, or?
Not on Friday. That's the next day. They are qualifying, but it's on a different course.
Yeah, but the trophy trucks are usually on 40s, right?
That's right.
And they tear up the some of those tracks as well. So you have to, part of surviving is having the clearance, right? So
100%.
So you're stepping up your tire size, and you were able to kind of package that together. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, the rules allow us to go up to a 37, and so we wanted to take advantage and improve our ground clearance. That was going to be a known challenge for all the reasons that you just stated. With over 300 different vehicles and wheelbases ranging from the buggy class that race, like the VW Bugs, all the way up to professional 35-inch, 37-inch side-by-side tires, right? And the frequencies that are developed in the sand, in the dirt, from those different tread patterns create quite what we call kind of the mound in the middle from the ruts of the tires. And so for durability of the vehicle, it was really critical to raise that ride height a little bit with some additional ground clearance. Rules also allow us to add some skid plates underneath. So again, within rules, we followed, but the vehicle, you know, the tires were critical for performance and ground clearance.
Yeah.
And we were super happy. I mean, we ran BFG 37s. We had no flats, which is a testament to the Toyota Driving Academy schools that we have here. To, you know, this isn't the first time we've driven these vehicles in this kind of pace and speed. It's maybe the first time with mixed traffic, but no flat tires was really cool for us. And that was an ability to keep moving the whole time. Yeah.
I'm clapping because, a flat tire not only slows you down, right? You have to change it.
That's right.
But also, that's kind of a moment of pride, I think, right?
That's
because because that means, you know, you're not maybe pushing too hard. You're following kind of the Iron Man spirit, right?
Right.
You're trying to use most of your vehicle, but maybe not pushing it beyond, you know, all limits and actually not finishing, which is not good. But the rumor I'm talking about is there was some news that TRD Hammer name was trademarked by Toyota, and everybody said, "Whoa, Toyota is at the Mint 400 and this is the new Hammer." Can you comment at all on any of this rumor?
Yeah, we can't talk about future product, but what we can say is that we're learning all the time. Like we said before, Kaizen is the spirit of Toyota, and we're trying to constantly improve our products. Future product, we can't talk about, but I think we're learning a ton, which is awesome.
Well, I had to ask that. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Well, because the audience, you know, the guys and gals are listening and watching, I think they kind of wanted to hear a little bit more about it. Yeah, I'm very impressed. I was going to ask you about flat tires. So that's very impressive. Tell me a little bit more about, you were a co-pilot. So are you doing some navigation as well? And also you were the pilot. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. We've got a cool collection of members across our development team. And so our driver team is made up of myself, Tim Wachowski, who's super passionate. His day job is actually a safety crash technician. So he's shooting head forms at hoods. And then our other two drivers, Bob Dittner and Derek Gibbs, are part of our advanced driver team, and they do a ton of driver's training for all of our Toyota members. So start of the race, Tim Wachowski led us off the line, and I was a navigator for the first lap. And we brought it all the way back to main pit. From there, Derek Gibbs and Bob Dittner got in. They did the second lap. And then finally, Derek Gibbs and myself finished the lap. I drove the last 70, which it was kind of cool to go from the start to the finish and just see, honestly, the carnage and the degradation of the course. At the start, we passed probably 7 to 10 vehicles within the first 6 miles that had already encountered, we'll say, a challenge or something had failed. And they were just pulled off and kind of, we say, tortoise in the hare. We just kept moving. And it's funny, you mentioned Ivan's statement. It was said many times in our team, you know, to finish first you must finish. Mm-hmm. And that was really our mindset. Just keep moving, keep eating it, eat an elephant one bite at a time. And then that start all the way to doing that third lap, the terrain was just honestly destroyed. There was car parts everywhere, full tires, fire extinguishers, quarter panels. And so not only are you driving the terrain, but you're trying to avoid vehicles broken down on the side of the road or in the racetrack. It was a really, really cool experience. And honestly, a first for me, a first for a lot of our team, to be in mixed traffic, actually racing, having vehicles pass and us passing cars and things like that.
Well, also very demanding, right? I mean, yes. And also, were you in the driving in the dark, racing in the dark at this point?
Yes. Yep. So funny story, second lap is where basically was the last lap for production vehicles. So Derek and I had gotten in, and the start of the third lap from main pit is maybe 1 mile after is the finish line. And so him and I come up over the mound that has the fire shooting up, and there's a flag guy saying this way. He's sending us into finish line. And Derek and I both from the hood are pointing out, out. No, you got to go in. No, we're going out. And then he turns his mind and says, he flags us out. And we go out for a third lap. And it was about dusk at that time. And probably 20 miles into that 95 miles, it was full pitch black. So then you've got just this adverse terrain. And it's kind of nice, actually, at night, because you can actually see, you can get color changes in the whoops and the terrain. And sometimes it's a little bit more recognizable. And by that time, you know, we're one of the few vehicles still out, because a lot of people have either broken down or called it a day.
Yeah, the closest I've come to driving in a grueling environment like this is I kind of pre-ran, so to speak, Vegas to Reno course.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Before it was ever run, right?
Yes.
So it was like a groomed course.
Yeah.
I mean, groomed in quotes, because there's still some challenges because it is in the middle of nowhere. But just maintaining your focus for that amount of time, because you're moving fast and these obstacles are coming at you quite quickly, right?
That's right.
So yeah. It sounds fun, but it's also, I mean, it is demanding on the person and the machine, of course.
Yeah, and, you know, Andre, in that scenario, you guys all knew each other and you were probably having fun and friends. Imagine that those vehicles around you want to get past you and they're not going to wait. And that was one of the biggest things for me personally to, wow, first pass, there's a little transponder that has a little P question mark. You've got to select it, yes. Well, that guy's already halfway trying to get around you, and we're on what is a two-track, literally a two-track. And so part of the challenge in the day is, you know, we're a slower vehicle just from our suspension. And where do you turn over safely, pull off to the side and let them by in a track that's, you know, 0.7 and your vehicle's one, and now you've got to get a two through there. That's really tough, right? And so being...
Yeah.
Careful and cautious. There's a rock behind every bush is the assumption. So don't go through a bush, right?
Exactly. And there could be a boulder hiding behind it, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That could be day ending right there for sure. I forgot to mention this before, but I was looking at some pictures and I was seeing your team name, right? It was also DRT. dirt racing team, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got you. Quick plug, subscribe and follow Toyota underscore DRT. That's our Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
And
good, good, good.
that's a little bit of us kind of telling our story direct, a little bit. You know, we're not marketing guys, so you're not going to get a cool story, but it's raw. It's us giving ourselves some cool kudos. And the name, you know, we like. It's shorthand for dirt, desert race team. We think it's pretty cool. And it kind of embodies us, right? Like, let's go do it. Let's get in the dirt.
And I read it backwards. DRT is TRD.
That's
And
right.
then my mind exploded when I read it backwards. Okay.
That's right.
Anyway.
Don't turn it upside down, right?
Oh gosh, I don't know what will happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what will happen. Well, that's very interesting. I also wanted to ask you a little bit about I was looking at the interior of the vehicle. Obviously, you have radios there, racing radios. You have a roll cage, obviously. You have kind of a battery disconnect switch or something like that. Also, in the back, I saw there's some cooling ducts or something. Can you describe anything more about it?
That was all kind of us just confirming what we can within the rules, right? And so we wanted to make sure that fresh air was getting to those intakes, right? And so in this harsh environment with all the dust, I'm still probably blowing dust out my nose
Yeah.
from 3 weeks ago. It was to dump fresh air right into that intake, but we didn't modify any of the fans. We didn't modify that battery. That's actually the OE surround that goes around the battery. We kept that. Kind of our decision logic was our parts first, and then if we need a different solution, solve that. And so we kept all of that structure all the same, and then where we needed to, you know, improve our odds of giving it fresh air, let's do that where we can.
Gotcha. And then finally, so the axles, the suspension components, were those stock mostly, or and the shocks as well?
Yeah, everything is stock. Everything's stock within the rules that we can play with. So we can't change geometry, and we can't change the mounting points. So everything's
Okay,
stock
that's very,
geometry.
yeah, that's very interesting because I mean, I'm imagining more stress through all those components, right? Including the drive shafts and the axles. Because you're increasing the weight of the truck and you're also increasing the tire size, right? So I'm imagining, I even remember, when this generation of the Tundra first came out, I was speaking with Mike Swears, right? And he was kind of, well, one of the things he showed was kind of the chain and the transfer case, right? That it was kind of a little bit overbuilt for what a half ton truck or a light duty truck might need. And I think that's kind of in the spirit of that.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that platform, the Toyota baked in QDR, quality, dependability, reliability that we have, going to the mint shows an example of where we naturally have excessive durability, and we showed it. There's no mint 400 TS that exists, but by meeting all the other standards and internal requirements, we have the extra capacity in that platform, in those parts to go do that. And it's parts all across, right? Like we use lift kit parts, we use stock base parts, like all across our vehicle that we developed for that platform and that truck, pulling from our parts bin first was the goal.
Nice. And also, as we finish up here, Toyota also unveiled a concept Scion side by side. Is your team involved in that, or are you involved in that effort at all?
Yeah, I'm near some of that stuff, some of those concepts, and I think it's really, you know, I know you were at Arizona when we showed it. I was there as well. It's again a testament to our passion, right? These are passion projects, really getting back to our roots of authentic capability, authentic performance, and that's the truck fits right in with this. You know, we're at the mint, we're making the truck do the real truck stuff that we love. We're those customers too.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's cool because in the Scion side by side, it's using a Tacoma drivetrain, powertrain, but everything else is different because the suspension components and the whole chassis. I mean, that side by side is kind of unique to it. But that's another kind of, I can see your thinking kind of, right? So using what you have already and then expanding on that for that
Got it.
concept.
Yeah, we've got a great global parts bin, right? We're the largest global manufacturer. We make stuff all over the world that's really, really durable for really challenging environments. And we're here in North America, part of that global ecosystem. So let's look at the parts that we have across the world and understand the applicability of those and the baked-in QDR that exists for Toyota.
Great. So what's next? Do you have
Silver
anything
State.
planned?
Silver State. That's the next one. Yeah,
Okay.
we're headed there the end of this month. That's our plan. That's a different track. So you mentioned Vegas to Reno. It's a little bit more of that flowy space. The Mint is super harsh, so we're excited to see the truck and that hybrid system out in that environment. Again, our mindset is to finish first, you must first finish.
Yeah.
So not going too far, but yeah, that's next for us. We got the truck back. Nothing major. Small rebuild of some parts and shocks and some consumable things, but fluid change and keep it running. That's our goal.
Awesome. Well, Skyler, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Of
I
course.
want to get out there with you, actually.
Yeah. Well, you can come, you can do a couple things, right? So we share a bunch on our Instagram, and then we actually have onboard cameras which allow you to watch us while we're going. We use it for safety, but it's also to give people a chance to ride along with us. So we'll typically try to share those links on our Instagram, and we want to see you out there too, Andre. Let us know when you're out in the desert to go have some fun, man.
All right, I appreciate it, Skyler. Hopefully, we'll meet soon in person, and
Yeah.
we'll go from there.
Yeah, thanks for the time. Thank you.
Well, as you could see there, I tried. I asked as many questions as I could,
It's only so much they're going to reveal.
and I learned a lot actually because I was impressed. Well, first of all, TRD Hammer, they can't talk about future products, right?
Exactly.
And this is not just Toyota. This is every manufacturer does this.
Yeah, that's industry standard. So they're never going to reveal exactly what they're doing, depending on the project and the manufacturer. Maybe they'll hint a little bit at what they're doing, but there is still really good indication that they're working on something because, like we've talked about in the past, current Tundra owners got a letter in the mail asking them to vote on what they thought was a good name for a more aggressive off-road truck.
Exactly. And then they trademarked that name,
Yeah,
TRD
so
Hammer.
TRD
So
Hammer.
there's something there.
There is
There's
something.
something
And
happening.
even in that letter, although they didn't say, hey, this is a truck that's coming out and it's going to have these features, they said, what would you think of one of these names, TRD Hammer included, for a truck that had, and they listed some specific off-road
And bigger
features.
tires too.
Yeah, what did they say, 37s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this truck happens to be on 37s.
Yeah,
What are the
so
chances?
again,
What are the chances?
none of this is
Anyways,
coincidence.
no, and I don't want to get Skyler in trouble or anything like that, with his
No, but we're
bosses,
allowed to speculate.
because Sheldon might, come down on him, and
Sure, yeah.
I don't want that.
No.
No, but the point is that he's excited. It's really great to see where a person in the team like this, the Skyler and the team, the extended team that did this, they're excited by this. They love doing what they're doing. And when that happens, they're making cool things,
Yeah,
right?
absolutely. And that's what it looks like they're doing. Because again, they're trademarking this name. They're querying customers
Yes.
about a truck that's got some more capability, some more rubber underneath it, and they're testing out some features that are along those lines. And especially too, over time, if they want to get more and more into racing like this, which I think is a good thing because it proves a lot and it says a lot about the brand. If you're successful in racing, then that does a really good job of marketing your vehicles, and that's massively important in itself. But if they want to continue in this category, then over time we could certainly see some development of more and more aggressive trucks. And maybe, again, fingers crossed, maybe someday a wide body truck.
A wide body ton from the factory.
Because you and I, we want more wide body trucks from the factory on the market.
Well, those hips don't lie,
Yeah.
what they say. So,
I have heard that.
well, no, because a wide body truck like the TRX or the Raptor, RHO, Raptor R, all that stuff, it's more stability, right? You can
Yeah.
get a more suspension travel. It's not just for looks, right? I mean, it's actually function. And what General Motors has been doing, our producer Cole and I know this really well. Cole and I went Vegas to Reno. We pre-ran that in Colorado ZR2. We We were there watching the Mint 400 where Chevy was participating. Ford does a lot of this too.
Yeah.
They have their Raptor trucks and Bronco vehicles racing.
And you mentioning the ZR2 is another good point. GM really needs to get on the wide body truck bandwagon as well, because yes. Even though there's not tons of people that are necessarily buying trucks from the factory and going out there and desert racing them, these kinds of trucks are still great in a lot of different situations. And we take a lot of these wide body trucks and we rock crawl them, because rock crawling is the majority of what we have here in Colorado.
Yeah.
And they still do a great job of that. But even if you're just driving around regular roads every day, especially some of the really bad road surfaces we have here around us, they're very pleasant to drive. We like squishy trucks. It's nice. It's not the best thing for utility, but it is comfy.
Well, Cole and I were just in New York City, and what we learned in New York City
is you should have a wide body truck.
Yes. Because some of the potholes in New York City are sizes of like swimming pools.
Yeah.
So or hot tubs. So you need so it's really difficult if you have like, I don't know, something on 20 foes rolling there, because there's huge potholes.
So that is some direct consumer advice from Andre. If you live in downtown New York, buy a Raptor or a TRX.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good plan.
It will be difficult to park.
Really a lot of space to open it up too.
Well, yeah, because you're moving at 4 miles per hour.
Yeah.
No, but seriously speaking, like, we've been to Detroit, you know, a lot of the snowy cities in the Rust Belt and the bad climate, winter climate cities, the roads get chewed up.
It's tough on the roads.
Yeah, it's really tough on the roads. We see this in the mountains. So it's not just for desert racing. It's also just comfort, you know, just
100% jumping train tracks.
We don't condone that. It's also really cool that Skyler and his team, they have their own kind of Instagram page that's official, Toyota_DRT, where people can follow. They also have cameras inside these trucks where they can share some live streams from future races, which is cool.
Yeah, so they publish a lot about what they're doing. And the name DRT is kind of cool because it's dirt racing team, and DRT minus one vowel is
dirt.
Dirt. But it's also TRD backwards.
Yes, I did see that. I asked Skylar about it, and yeah, so
they've already got the letters.
We were laughing about it.
So they just got to switch the letters around.
Or you don't. Maybe you don't switch them around. Maybe you just
read it backwards.
Use both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're dyslexic.
So that's awesome. No, anyways, so I want to thank, you know, Skylar and his team, and of course for their time in this. And I think, well, looking at the sales, right? We recently did a sales story. GM, was pretty successful using some of the racing that they participate in to sell trucks. Ford lost some sales in the first quarter
But there's
F-Series.
Some material shortages.
Yeah, there are different aspects. But also, they said in the Ford press release is that their Tremor FX4 and Raptor trucks were still selling really strongly.
Yeah.
It's just overall there weren't, you know, the volume overall wasn't quite there. So the off-road vehicles, and Ford is leaning into Raptor really heavily.
Raptor and potentially some other projects that they're not necessarily letting slip yet.
The Ranger Tremor is coming back.
Yeah.
You know, so they're really leaning into a lot of those off-road brands.
Yeah, and they're off-road team and the leadership behind that has made a couple statements that makes it sound like they could be working on some entirely new off-road models.
Well, like almost like based on their Dakar racing vehicle, right? Because they have a T1 Plus Dakar Raptor, which is really not a truck. It's more of a tube chassis SUV looking thing, right?
Yeah.
So, and they've hinted, I mean, Jim Farley hinted at like, will a Mustang be a Raptor?
Yeah, or some kind of off-road supercar.
Yeah, like
type
a supercar thing.
That'd be interesting.
Like
there's some precedent for that, because the Huracan Sturato and the 911 Dakar, both big sellers, very popular. So those manufacturers are considering creating follow-ups to some of those vehicles. Also, back on the Toyota front, there's also that Celica race car.
Oh, yeah, the rally car that they were teasing.
That people have been sharing photos of a lot and speculating about. Again, no real details on that either. Yes. But there's some interesting things in the work.
You know, it is fun. It is fun. Yes, it is fun to see actual corporations having some fun.
Yeah.
And also translating that fun, not just because they have the money to do it, but actually translating the fun they're having with motorsports, fun, and, you know, I know it's a lot of work, but translating that into stuff we can buy.
Exactly, because that's how it works. If they have a racing program and they're developing vehicles for racing, some of that inevitably trickles down to the actual vehicles that you walk into a dealership and buy yourself, which is really important. There's a lot of manufacturers out there that have had, maybe in the last 10 or 20 years, a bit of an issue with not creating a lot of very interesting cars. Just regular everyday passenger vehicles are important, but it's also important to have your flagship vehicles that prove, hey, we can do this with our engineering. This is what brings you into a dealership because you want to look at that Raptor or that top model off-road vehicle. And, you know, maybe they end up selling you on something different, but it's still an available thing that you could aspire to,
get excited about. So that's really, really awesome.
And one way or another, because you and I do this job, we get to drive it, which is good for us.
That's good for us too. and I don't know, I'm not super psyched. You know, if Ford made a $300,000 off-road race car, that's cool, but I can't afford one.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
sure.
I'm more excited about the Ranger Tremor than I'll ever be about 911 Dakar competitor. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But still, knowing that exists.
But you never know. They could do.
Cool.
Ford could do something along those lines, but price it very differently.
You know? Yeah. Well, because
like how Ford, the Corvette is versus a lot of supercars.
Exactly. I wish Ford would do more of that.
Yeah. Just because you're competing with somebody doesn't mean you have to be priced similar.
And now, once again, speaking about New York City. Hyundai unveiled a concept on 37s too.
That was their
Boulder, named after Boulder, Colorado.
Yeah, that's not a joke. It actually named after Boulder.
Right? Their head designer actually said those words. I'm not making this up. So if Hyundai is looking into there's my mind exploding again.
it's very cool because credit where credit's due. Hyundai, Kia, Genesis, these brands are willing to throw something against the wall and see if it sticks. They're willing to put themselves out there a little bit and try something different, which I appreciate. A lot of the Japanese manufacturers and a lot of manufacturers in general from all different countries of origin can be pretty conservative. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got a little bit of a formula. They don't want to stray too far all at once because if it's a big failure, it's going to cost a lot of money. But this is a huge departure, and yet it's gotten a massively positive reaction from the people that were looking at this very boxy, very tall, bolder concept with, 35s, a lot of ground clearance?
37s.
37s,
yes.
Really? No way.
And they also talked about, I talked to the chief engineer. Do you see that pull sign on the rear hatch?
Yeah, so it can open from either direction.
Yeah, but he talked about bouldering. And actually grabbing a rock.
Oh, yeah.
That's what inspired that door handle.
Nice. Bit of a crimp.
And you appreciate that because you do bouldering.
I used to. Yeah. Okay. Not so much anymore.
Okay. So there you have it.
Yeah. So this would be really cool. As well, Hyundai is bringing out a body-on-frame, more traditional pickup truck, which is also going to be interesting.
And they promised that already.
Yeah.
They said it's coming before the end of this decade, which is what, within 4 years?
Yeah, so who knows? What do you think? Is there potential for this to be on a similar platform?
Yes. So they were really kind of, there's not a lot of specs about the Hyundai Boulder, but the fact that it's on the frame-based SUV, body on frame, the fact that it has big tires and it's wide, I think points to the fact that's where they're moving to.
Yeah.
Even though Boulder, as you could see it right now, may not come to production, something like it will. So, especially with a midsize truck.
And even on the Honda end of the spectrum, the Passport Trail Sport has been selling really well and has had a really positive reception. So, Honda is getting good feedback on, so far, their most aggressive off-road vehicle in that lineup?
I was just reading their press release about their sales in the first quarter. I couldn't believe my eyes. So the Passport was refreshed, right?
Yeah.
They came out with it. I can't believe this happened. So, you know, they have multiple trims, of course, of the Passport.
Yeah.
Their top-of-the-line Trail Sport is accounting for 81%.
It's what, Trail Sport Elite?
No, just the entire Trail Sport line. Okay. I know they have a couple of different
multiple Trail Sport versions.
Anyways, yeah. The Trail Sport group of vehicles that they're selling is 81% of their sales.
Again, and that kind of positive feedback reception,
yes,
and also the sales to back it up,
yes,
might even make a slightly more conservative manufacturer like Honda in the future lean more into rugged off-road capable vehicles.
Yeah, super exciting. And of course, that puts more pressure on Toyota.
Yeah.
It puts more pressure on Ford.
What if Honda made a proper 4Runner competitor?
Hey.
Be awesome. They could do it. They make side-by-sides.
Yeah, I know. Already.
they know how to make an off-roader already.
Yeah. Anyways. So yeah, so that's a lot of excitement. Thanks for joining this episode once again. Next week, we might be talking about bigger vehicles still.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
some more massive.
Pretty interesting things that I got to do in Virginia with some Volvo semi-trucks. So we're looking forward to talking a little bit more about that.
Yeah, because I was a bit jealous that you went to that Volvo semi program because...
Fair enough. Yeah, you had to walk 10 miles around a convention center. I was pulling big trailers or big semis. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Stay tuned for that. That's coming very soon.